Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 447, is Ijja, which means that he is the only object of worship. He is worship. He is the object of worship. He is the one who is to be worshipped. He is worshipable. This is particularly in relation to the previous name in Yajna. The previous name given is Yajna. So he is the one to be worshipped in Yajna. There are other various Yajnas, sacrifices which are performed for worshipping various gods. Sacrifice can also be performed for, as we learn in Bhagavatam, for invoking demons. We find that Tvashta performed a sacrifice in the sixth canto, which produced the demon Vritra, who was actually a great devotee, but the sacrifice was performed for that. So one is not supposed to perform sacrifices or religious activities for malicious purposes. It's also possible to do so. A large part of the Atharva Veda is concerned with curses, imprecations, praying to the demigods for victory over enemies and things like that. But in Bhagavatam, we find that the only real enemy is the uncontrolled mind. The enemy is the uncontrolled mind and senses. So by understanding Vishnu, we can understand the actual purpose of the Vedas is to worship him. And that's all summarized in Bhagavad Gita. There are many verses which make this point, particularly the object of worship in Yajnas. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhur eva cha. He is the Lord of the sacrifice, and he is the enjoyer. In the Yajna, one offers various items in the fire, saying, well, if it's directly to Narayana, then idam Narayanaya namama, this is for Narayana, and namama, not for me, emphasizing the point. Just so when we're offering, we don't think it's for Narayana, but actually it should be for me, because that's the diseased mentality of this material world. We think everything is meant for my enjoyment. So that is stated, everything is meant for him. It's not just in the sacrifice, in the formal sacrifice. One's whole life should be a sacrifice offered to Krishna. That's called Atma Samarpan, offering oneself. In the sacrifice, we can offer grains and ghee, but the real thing we're supposed to offer is ourselves. That doesn't mean we jump in the fire, but that we get in the fire of devotional service. Sometimes it's compared to fire. Cheto darpana marjanam. This verse is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Sankirtan Yajna, he describes the seven qualities of or the seven effects of Sankirtan Yajna. So that's compared to the seven different kinds of flame in a fire, sacrificial fire, which are mentioned in one of the Upanishads. So it's a Sankirtan Yajna. And the offering is ourself. We're supposed to offer ourselves. Otherwise, simply opening the mouth and making the sound Hare Krishna is good, but it doesn't constitute full kirtan. Sankirtan. That name is there, Sankirtan. Sankirtan means Bahubir Miliva Yad Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam. When many people come together and chant, that is called Sankirtan, a group chanting. And Samyag Kirtan, complete, perfect Kirtan. So that also means, that's also what Sankirtan means. So there's a consideration of quantity, but more important is the consideration of quality, how we are chanting. We should be akama. We can chant in various ways with desire. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So yajeta, it gives the idea, same yajna of worship. So one can worship, one who's actually intelligent, broad intelligence, whether he is desireless, full of desires, or desiring liberation, he should worship intensely Krishna, the Supreme Person. But there is a difference. One who worships for any desire than simply to worship. Why are you worshiping? Because he's worshipable. That's all. Then that's, his worship is not complete. Although he may fulfill all the conditions. In Sankirtan Yajna, there aren't any external conditions. Kayate, shuite, jata, tata, namaloi, desha, kala, niyam nahi, sharva, shiddhi, hoi. One can even eat while performing Sankirtan. It's not usually done, but the idea is that one can chant the holy names while one's eating, not that in the middle of the kirtan you start eating. But it's just, or even while lying down, in any situation, one can chant the holy names and attain all perfection. But there is, so that's in Chaitanya Charitamrita describing the second verse of Shikshashtaka. But there is, it's not that there are absolutely no considerations, because just after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recorded as saying, Ki rupe nam loile prema upajoy taha lakon shuno shurup ram rai. Speaking to Surup Damada and Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now just hear in what manner one should take the holy name. In Bengali it said one should take the holy name, means to chant the holy name. Then the prem, love of God, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting, that will arise. And then Trinada Pisuni Chena Torori Vasahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. Well, there has to be a very humble attitude, detached from this world. And that detachment is stressed more in the verse following that, Nadhanam Najanam Nasundurim Kavitam Ba Jagadisha Kamayama Majamani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktirahaitukitvai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want women, wealth, or followers, nor anything that could be aspired for in this material world, nor release, liberation from this material world. I only wish for causeless service, unmotivated service to you, birth after birth. So this is the proper way to worship. Krishna is the only object of worship. Krishna should be worshipped, because only he can be worshipped in this way. Sometimes we hear people say, well, if you worship a demigod selflessly, just like we have the description of worshipping Krishna selflessly, anya bhila shita shunyam jnana kamadhyana avritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama, that real bhakti means, or at least the beginning of real bhakti, is at least to cultivate the spirit of having no personal desire for anything except to serve Krishna as Krishna desires to be served. So I may say, well, you can worship Shiva like that also, but Shiva is not the proper person to be worshipped. There's something wrong in the motive of someone who approaches Shiva in this way, because he isn't the right person to reciprocate with in that way. That means we misunderstood him. It means our heart is not fully pure if we approach him in that way, because that's not his function. He's not that person. Why should we worship anyone? Why should we love anyone? Because they have the qualities by which they deserve to be worshipped. And it's a matter of personal qualities. So Krishna is the one to be worshipped. We may say we can worship so many others also. You can do, but that worship cannot be perfect and complete, because neither is any other object of worship able to reciprocate in the way that Krishna can. And nor can the worshipper, real worship means pure love, pure offering of oneself, nor can the one who is doing the worship come to the perfection of worship, which is fully offering oneself in pure love. Different people have different ideas about what the perfection of worship is. Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, they thought the perfection of worship is to force the demigods. Ravana worshipped Shiva. Hiranyakashipu invoked Brahma. So they thought, if I can, I'll do such worship that they'll be forced to give me whatever I want, and that will be the perfection of my worship. But that doesn't even qualify as worship in the true sense of the term. When pure Vaishnavas speak about worshipping Krishna, and materialistic people talk about worship, it's the same word, it's the same basic conception and the same basic process. Worship by fruit and flowers, or in the case of Kali, there may be worship by meat and flowers, or live animal and flowers. But there should be offering of some food, some flowers, some scent, some chanting or singing. But worshipping Krishna is on a different platform to that of all others, because Krishna is constitutionally the person to be worshipped. And we are constitutionally meant for worshipping him. So everything else, it's getting there. It's something better than nothing. But it's at best a misunderstanding. And generally, it is done for material motives. It's on a lower platform, approaching different demigods. Worship is meant for Vishnu. That is one of the main points made in Bhagavad Gita. Maybe we could say that's, well, first of all, establishing that Krishna is supreme, and that we are meant to worship him, and then worship from that's the beginning stage, at least to recognize his greatness, and that we are subordinate to him, we are meant to serve him, we're supposed to worship him. So that's the beginning, and then develops more to pure love, of which there's some indication in Bhagavad Gita, and that theme is developed more in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita to the full extent. The word full used here, it's used in the transcendental sense. Means that it doesn't mean it's unlimited. It gives an indication. It's a word which we use for a concept of being complete, but although love for Krishna is complete, but it's not limited. If we say complete, that gives the idea of incomplete. So how much? We may say 60% complete, 40% incomplete. But with, how can you measure infinity? It's not possible. Whether you say 60% or 40% of infinity, it's all infinity. Of course, it is easily mathematically demonstrable that there is greater infinity and smaller infinity. But anyway, when we say full love of Krishna, it means that in the heart of the devotee there's nothing but love of Krishna. It doesn't mean that, okay, now that's it. I went as far as I could, that's it. No higher place to go. That's it. You don't get stuck. So worship is a precursor to pure love. And even in the state of pure love, there may be worship also. It's not that Krishna is not worshipped. Even in Vrindavan, sometimes arati is offered to him. But the mood is... Still, it will never be as in the mood of awe and reverence. Even then, when the arati is going on, then Madhu Manga will be making some jokes for sure. He's not a very grave brahmana. Although, if you tell him, if you be grave for 5 minutes and I'll give you a plate of lardos, then he might try and be grave for 5 minutes. He'll do his best. Now, Krishna is the object of worship. Those who worship different demigods, it's on a lower platform. There's a great mistake in Hinduism to think that, well, you can just worship any god. It's all the same. It might seem like that if one doesn't carefully study Bhagavad Gita, because there are different paths, karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. But, well, there are many people who read Bhagavad Gita and come to this conclusion. What can we say? Maya aparita jnana. Their knowledge is covered by illusion. It is very clear that Krishna is supreme. In this regard, Krishna is supreme means he's the one who is to be worshipped. Anyway, I'll just read from chapter 7. Where to begin? Because it's all... So much comes to the same point. It's not that just there's one verse and then another verse and they're all different topics, or there are four or five verses that are one topic, but you find it's all interlinked. Anyway, I'll read from verse 19, first of all, a very well-known verse, at least among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and among Vaishnavas in general. I'm not sure, because I don't have any communion with Mayavadis, but I'm not sure if this would be well known among them. They probably, all the verses that we emphasize, they probably emphasize another set of verses. I don't know. Do you know? You're nodding your head there, Nanda Kumar. You come from a smarter background.
They do use emphasize on different chapters. They don't want to touch on.
The 11th chapter, the Mayavadis like the best. That's their favorite. Anyway, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarva Iti Samahatma Sudur Labhaha. After many births and deaths, who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So if we accept Krishna as being a an actual person, which the Mayavadis, in order to substantiate their theory, they have to make some pretty amazing interpretations that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, but he's not really a person. It's pretty amazing. He just represents something else. And no one's a person, because it's impersonalism. Although, when it comes time for lunch, then they personally eat it. They don't say, I'm not a person, I don't want any lunch. Anyway, the next verse. See, that's what I'm saying, this is following on from the previous. There's been discussion of different kinds of worship prior to this. So, kamaistaistaya hrita jnana prapadyante nyadevataha tang tam niyamam asthaya prakritya niyata swaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desire surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. So they're also worshipping, but they're worshipping the demigods. You may say, well, it's according to their nature. So what's wrong with that? Well, the point is that when we're in material nature, then the nature that we acquire is not our core nature. Purushang prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasadhyoni janmasu. We get different kinds, we acquire different kinds of nature which we presume to be ourselves due to our association with the modes of nature. And we get various elevated or degraded bodies. So when Krishna says they follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures, then this means that it's the covering nature, it's not their real nature. Of course, the followers of Madhvacharya wouldn't agree with that, but there you see, there has to. So, yo yang tanung bhakta shadhaya chitam icchati tasya tasya chalang shadham tam eva vidadhamyaham. This is very interesting. Krishna says, everyone's heart is the super soul. Actually, this is Prabhupada's purport built into the verse. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. I give that unflinching faith. That's very interesting. Krishna says that, well, actually, he's establishing in Bhagavad Gita that he is the supreme object of worship. And then others, persons who worship various demigods, they're foolish. But Krishna says, I give them the faith. The unflinching, yes, this whoever we're worshipping, that is supreme. They're very strong faith. So I won't get into a big discussion of that now, but Krishna gives them the faith by which they can remain steady in that position, which is suitable for them at that time. Sataya shraddhaya yuktastasya radhanam ihate labhate chatata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. So endowed with such a kind of faith, they perform such worship. He endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. Aradhana is worship. And he gets what he wants. So he thinks, you see, it works. I worship such and such demigod. I got what I wanted. It works. It shows. There you go. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. If it works, then there's no need to discuss any big philosophy, anything. I worship for a certain thing. I got what I wanted. are, but mayaiva vihitan hitan. Yeah, actually that desire is ultimately it's fulfilled by Krishna. The demigods, they can fulfill the desires of others as agents of Krishna, not independently. So we may think, well, all right, you talk your philosophy, but I'm going on with my worship and getting what I want. But Krishna, for anyone who's prepared to listen, antavattu palante sham tad bhavatyalpametasam devan devaya jo yanti mad bhakta yanti mamapi. Men of small intelligence, it's very easy to understand, alpametasa, worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planet of the demigods, planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. So he may say, well, I get what I want. Yeah, but you're a fool, because what you want is not the thing you should be wanting. You should learn what to want. You don't even, covered by Maya, we don't even know what we should want. Yeah, I want a big house and a big car. Of course, but it's limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planet of the planets of the demigods, but my devotees, they go to me. And the planets of the demigods are also limited and temporary. Actually, I should read from. Yeah, I made a note there. Also, in chapter 9, Krishna takes up the theme again. Ananyas chintayanto mang yejanaf pariyupasate te shang nityabhiyuktanang yogakshemam bahamyaham. Those, again, we should start before this. It describes those who go up to the heavenly worlds, they come down again. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Yipi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayan vitaha tipi mam eva kaunteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Those who are devotees of other gods and worship them with faith, actually worship only me. So what are you making a big fuss if they're only worshipping you? But, they do so in a wrong way. And then that verse I already quoted, aham hi sarva yagyanam bhukta cha prapareva cha natu mam abhijananti tadvenatas chivantite. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. So prior to this, Krishna spoke of those who go to the heavenly worlds by following the Vedic processes. They come down again and they have a gata-gati, going and coming. But ultimately they fall down, because they don't recognize Krishna as supreme. Some point they're going to go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, down. They'll make some mistake. So it's a dangerous process. It doesn't give any proper satisfaction in this world, and it's the result is limited and temporary. And therefore one should worship Krishna and go to Krishna. He is the proper object of worship. And Krishna goes on. Yanti deva rita devan pitrin yanti prachi vritaha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajinopima. He's clarifying. He's already said it in a general way. those who worship the demigods, they go to the demigods. Those who worship the forefathers, they go to the forefathers. Those who worship the ghosts, they go to the ghosts. And those who worship me, they come to me. So he's just making the point. It's just in a general way he said they fall down. He may think, going to the demigods, that's going up. But ultimately, that's actually also a fall down. It's then how to worship Krishna? What is it, this worshiping Krishna? You're going to get the best possible result. So what kind of sacrifice you have to do? It must be very elaborate and complex. Krishna says, Patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Offer me leaf, flower, fruit or water with devotion and I will accept it. You don't have to do any elaborate sacrifice anyway. They're not required. Worshipping Krishna is quite possible to do very simply. Elsewhere in Gita, Krishna speaks of jnana yagya. All sacrifices, they come to the point of jnana. But then what is that jnana? It's to understand yomameva sammurho janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajate mam sarva bhavena bharata. To understand Krishna is supreme, he is the proper object of worship, and to worship him in all respects. That means you, if you do that, you already know everything, then you come to the right point. So it may be very shocking for people who are very interested in making elaborate sacrifices. Actually, in Bangladesh, I spent quite some time there starting in 1979, and for about 10 years I was in and out of Bangladesh. So, at least at that time among the Hindus, I guess they would know more now due to the activities of ISKCON, that Sankirtan is the yagya for Kali Yuga. That I quoted last time, I forgot it last time. Sarva Jagya Hoite Krishna Nama Jagya Sha. Among all the sacrifices, the sacrifice of chanting Krishna's name, that is the essence of it all. But with the spreading of ISKCON and its preaching, devotees from Bangladesh have gone to Mayapur and seen fire sacrifices going on. So they've introduced all over Bangladesh, people will call our devotees to chant with their Bengali accents. All these, see, the people don't know, and the devotees chanting, they also don't know, so it doesn't matter. It sounds so. They'll be chanting all these mantras and doing these fire sacrifices, which had already been completely lost from the culture in East Bengal. Even in West Bengal, I never saw it, any such thing. Maybe, among some Marwaris or whatever, but the Bengalis, they don't do it because they know if you're going to do sacrifice, then it's chanting their holy names. And you'll find such verses written in Bengali when they organize a pandal for Nam Jagya, 3 days chanting of the holy name, minimum 1 day, 3 days, 7 days if the local merchants can afford to sponsor so much. So there'll be all kinds of verses. Shaitu Shameda or Kali Hatajam. Whoever worships Krishna by Sankirtan Yagya. They have all these Sanskrit verses written in Bengali. Now they think they have to do it. No harm in it. It's a Vedic process. But the real yagya, in the essence of all, is chanting the holy names. We can't perform that fire sacrifice properly anyway. There are so many conditions that need to be fulfilled. Desh kala niyam, desha kala niyam nahi. There's no consideration of place, time, or following so many strict rules in chanting the names of Krishna. But for performing such a sacrifice, first of all, one has to be in a place which is ruled by a pious king, which rules out the whole world just to start with. So practically you can't do it anyway. The point, Krishna is the person to be worshipped. Ija also means who is revered. It means sacrifice itself. It means cow, deity, and worship. These are different meanings of Ija, from which many other explanations could be extracted. But I won't get into that, because within Vishnu Sahasranama there are other names which directly, they're prime meaning is goes with the, what are secondary meanings of other words. The name 448 is Mahija, which means, Maha means emphasize or greatly. So Krishna is the object of worship. He's the best among the those who are to be worshipped. So even if we think that, well, you can worship the other demigods, the process is given in the Vedas, so it must be bona fide, but we should understand that there is a gradation also. It's not all the same. You can worship others, but the Krishna is the best. Why best? Because, well, from our perspective, we get the best result. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives a different meaning, just turning it around a little bit, that he should be worshipped with the best of everything. He's worshipable, and the best of everything should be offered to him. Not that... that Srila Prabhupada used to sometimes give this Bengali saying, koi uriye gobindaya namaha. You have some koi, which means something like puffed rice. You're carrying it on your head, on a basket, and the wind comes and blows it away, and then you offer it to Govinda. See, I get some benefit. Anyway, I'm losing it, it's got lost in the wind, but offer it to Govinda. And the rest, I'll keep for myself to enjoy. So there's another Bengali saying that Brahman ke kana goru dan means you give a cow to a brahmana, but it's blind, one-eyed blind, not very auspicious. That's there also in Kathopanishad, is it not? The story of Nachiketa. He was got on his father's case. So you're offering these cows. You want to give them in sacrifice or give them to Brahmins, but they're all old, spindly. You're supposed to give good cows, not bad cows. So the best of everything. We should offer them whatever we have, the best of everything. This is a very important point for the materialist who wants to keep the best of everything for himself because he thinks I'm the enjoyer. But if we have the best of everything goes to Krishna, then that makes the point. He's the enjoyer. Just like you have New Year's festival in Tamil Nadu, and that's just after the harvest, and that's a common thing in the Western world also. I remember in England as a child, we used to have the harvest festival, which doesn't mean anything to people living in the towns, but previously there was the agriculture, rural-based society, and then after the harvest they'd have a festival. It's actually nothing to do with Christianity, it was adopted from what they call paganism prior to Christianity. Before you yourself enjoy the newly harvested grains, and they'll bring all different kinds of vegetables and so many things, you offer it to the gods. That was in the pagan system, and in the Christian system to God with a capital G. So the idea is that the fresh grains, very nice. It'll be very nice for us to enjoy, but first we should offer to him who has given it to us. We are not the enjoyer, or we are the subsidiary enjoyer. There's no harm to enjoy. We don't say that stop all pleasure, but we are subsidiary enjoyer. I was just listening to recitation of Srila Prabhupada saying that Harishari Prabhu had noted that in the morning Srila Prabhupada talked about the benefits of fasting. And then later in the day, he spoke about prasadam, how you should take it up to your neck, and even more. So Harishchandra Prabhupada pointed out, you were saying, firstly, and Prabhupada said, no, for the devotees, they can take, because it's prasadam, they can take, thinking how Krishna has enjoyed this. But Prabhupada said that those who are devotees, but I will fast, because I'm not a devotee, so I should fast. When you become a devotee, then you can take up to your neck. So, careful with your quotes there. Prabhupada said devotees can take up to the neck. Prabhupada said, I'm not a devotee in this context. Just warning us. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are descriptions like that. Devotees eat huge, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers used to eat lots of food, that even the local people, they were astonished how much they would eat. Of course, they would engage in physical activities, dancing for hours non-stop, daily also. Anyway, the best thing should be offered to Krishna. We can offer all nice foods to Krishna. It's very pleasing to see very nice foods being offered to Krishna. But the Western people, they can't understand this. Or Muslims, they can't understand. How can you cook nice food and put it in front of a statue? But devotees, no, there's not a statue. Pratima no hatumi shakhat brajendra nandan. You're not a statue. You're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. He is Krishna and he enjoys. Devotees, they take such care. Throughout the day in the hot season, they'll be fanning the Lord. They'll make nice dresses and garlands, offer nice food, all for His pleasure. All the best things are offered to Him because He actually enjoys that. And devotees take pleasure in enjoying Him enjoying. And then He takes pleasure in the devotees enjoying Him enjoying. And it goes like this. They take pleasure. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Radha and Krishna take pleasure in each other's love, and it's a competition. Not exactly a competition, but the love and beauty and sweetness of one inspires more love and beauty and sweetness in the other, and that inspires, and it goes on like this. So it's always increasing their love for each other. That's also why devotees, those on a higher platform of devotion, they don't think that how I will be happy with Krishna, but they want to see how Radha and Krishna are joined together, because they know that Krishna, he takes pleasure in Radha, and she can satisfy him more than I can, so they're into Radha. Radha duhara shangame ananda kari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says I take pleasure in Radha and Krishna coming together, and duhara bijoge dukete mori. I die from unhappiness when they're separated. So the best of everything should be offered to Krishna. He is the best of the objects of worship, so the best thing should be offered to Him. If we want to keep the best things for ourselves, then we're thinking, well, I'm the best. The best of everything should be offered to me. So that's the diseased mentality of the conditioned soul, which binds us in this material world. To try to get the best of everything for myself means that we get bound in material life more and more. Out of ignorance, we don't know the right thing to do, and we do the wrong thing, thinking it's the right thing, and then that just that becomes the cause of our misery. We do what we think is beneficial for myself, but we don't know. And we bind ourselves more and more and more. So Krishna, The best, he is the best of objects of worship, so the best things should be offered to him. Deity worship should be performed very carefully, everything the best for him in all respects, all arrangement, so that he is, so that his senses are satisfied. To try to satisfy our own senses is the cause of material bondage. Atendra priti vancha tare bale kam, that very dangerous kam described in Bhagavad Gita as being so dangerous. Material desire, that is the desire to satisfy our own senses. And Krishnendra priti icha tare premanam, and the desire that Krishna's senses will be satisfied. That is pure love of Krishna. So sense enjoyment, yeah, where a devotee is interested in sense enjoyment, but not his own sense enjoyment, that in Krishna's sense enjoyment, is not impersonal, that you just, sense enjoyment causes misery, okay, stop it. No, you satisfy Krishna's senses. So name 449, Kratu. Kratu also means, in this verse we'll find all different words for sacrifice. What is that? Yagya Ijo, or at least in the first line of this. We'll find, two more names, Kratu and Satram. So these names, they all refer to yagyas, or aspects of yagyas, or types of yagyas. They're a kind of sacrifice, a particular kind of sacrifice, which are called kratu. According to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, it's a type of sacrifice in which animals are offered. So he is kratu, means he is the object of worship through that sacrifice. Another meaning of kratu, we have words like krita, performed, karma, action. So deriving from this root, then he who is behind the actions of everybody, or he by whom everything is done, he is the ultimate doer. Karta hamiti manyate, the foolish person thinks I am the doer. But Krishna, everything can be done, nothing can be done without his sanction. Everything is ultimately done by him. Although he describes himself in Bhagavad Gita both as the Karta, the doer, that's another name which will come, and Akarta, the non-doer. So these, another definition is given here of Kratu, that one type of yagya in which one uses one's resources. That means it's not just some small yagya, but there's wealth is required, with a definite objective and a prescribed duration. That's called a Kratu. Because we'll find in the next name, Satra, there's another kind of sacrifice called Satra, which is indefinite. It can just go on, and you can just go on and on and on performing it. But Kratu means one kind of sacrifice which is performed, there's a particular objective, there's a particular procedure, and it has a particular duration. And it requires complete absorption in that, dedication, effort, with full faith that the objective will be actualized. So this is required. And Krishna, he is that Kratu, as we find in Bhagavad Gita again. Aham Kratu, Krishna says, I am Kratu. Aham Yagya. So here in this verse, Yeah, Krishna is again talking about sacrifice. Aham krato aham yagya swadha aham aham aushadham mantra aham aham eva jam aham agnir aham hutam. So I am, Krishna says, I'm the kratu, I'm the yagya, he is the mantra, he is the breath, he is the offering, he is the things which are offered, he is the worshipable, he is the fire, Krishna is all, he is the sacrifice, he is all the elements of the sacrifice. So in this sense, yagya is different from kratu. Although kratu is subsumed within yagya, but kratu, Ramanuja in his Gita Bhashya on this verse says, refers to the Vedic sacrifices known as Jyotishtoma. And the term yagya in this context means the Panchamahayagya, which are the Brahma Yagya, teaching and reciting the Vedas, Pitri Yagya, the regular offerings of water and cakes to the, just water daily to the ancestors, Deva Yagya, by offering fire sacrifice to the demigods, Bhuta Yagya, offering a portion of one's daily food to various creatures, and Manusha Yagya, which means serving other humans, especially guests who come. We've often heard the saying, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. Well, it can be in some circumstances. It's Atithi Bhava Deva. The guest who comes unexpectedly is to be worshipped as God. But it's to say that worship of Narayana is complete simply by serving humans is a misinterpretation. So the Mahayagyas and all other kinds of, because in yagya, apart from offering in the fire, there are all kinds of activities may be called yagya, such as like this, Brahma Yagya, teaching and reciting the Vedas, and there are all different kinds of activities which are called yagyas. Mm-hmm. So kratu also means intention, design, desire, power, intelligence. Intention I already put. Offering, intelligence personified, and so on. So the intelligence by which the Jnana Yagya, the intelligence that is applied to understanding the Vedas. So these are various. And then the last one in this series, name 450, Satram, Satra. One who is worshipped by the sacrifice called Satra. There's another kind of sacrifice which goes on for a long time with no set duration, which is performed not to get one's own benefit, but for the benefit of the world in general. And it's performed by many people. Just like it's quite often different Hindu organizations, they'll perform a yagya for world peace or some such thing. So this comes from the idea of satra. Another meaning is he who protects those who are sat. So satra means he is the sacrifice, he is worshipped by the sacrifice called satra. He who protects those who are sat, the devotees, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives this meaning, he who protects the devotees. And the devotees value him as their only wealth. Here in South India, sometimes you see when you go to a holy place, they have what are called chhatras, so that's the different pronunciation. It comes from the word satra. It's supposed to be a selfless activity that people give charity to maintain these places where pilgrims can come and get lodging and free food. It means they can only stay one night and they don't stay. So it's meant for pilgrims, people, so they can come. They don't have to save lots of money. They can go from one holy place to another. And they will be, because people, they've made that arrangement to provide for food and lodging in a holy place. So in all these activities, Krishna is ultimately to be worshipped. Sometimes we see and there's something like this chatram, it's not this lodging house, dharmshala, I guess you would say in North India, something like that. So you sometimes see that on the stone it's written, someone will write, if they're a Vaishnava, they'll say this chatram was built by so and so and for the pleasure of Lord Hari. That's the idea. It's done as an act of bhakti that made the devotees come and we have the opportunity to serve them. It's all part of our service to Krishna. Then another meaning, movement, action, he who makes everything go. But I won't speak on that because, again, there are other names in which that is the prime meaning. So these are different names. Yajna, Ija, Mahija, Kratu, and Satra. These are concerned with Yajna. There are other names in Vishnu Sahasranam which are concerned with Yajna. The name Yajna itself comes later, to almost at the end of Vishnu Sahasranam, at name 971. And the next name we can also connect to Yajna, but it's not directly. Satam Gatihi, the goal of the devotees. Or the goal, one has to be, actually to perform a sacrifice, one should be actually a pure person, a properly situated person, but I'll speak about that. At the next satra, that's another meaning of satra, at least in Hindi it's come out like that. Satra means sitting or session, just like we can have a program. We have morning session and evening session. So in Hindi that's called satra. So presumably that comes from the word satra in Sanskrit, where you'll see these yajnas are organized. People call Brahmins and they do yajna. They'll have a morning session and an evening session. So that's called satra also. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this, please? No. All right. Okay. Hare Krishna. So we'll finish that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.